Tuff still going. He's up to the 25. And now he's hit and hit hard about the 27-yard line. Bruiser Kennard made the tackle.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
On December 7, 1941, broadcasts were interrupted with the news that the United States was most certainly headed to war. Athletes like Hank Greenberg, Joe DiMaggio, and Jack Dempsey are no longer with us to share their stories of joining the fight in World War II, but only a game's Karen Given has the story of a lesser-known athlete and veteran whose story you might not have heard.
Haven't gone through this for quite a while. I keep forgetting this is around.
88-year-old Jack Sanford is flipping through a brown leather scrapbook that holds all the newspaper clippings from his time in baseball. His legal name, John A. Sanford, is inscribed in gold letters on the front.
S-A-N-F-O-R-D. And I says, I was born in Buzzards Bay, right along where the railroad tracks are. I was born right there. And we had a big family. We had five brothers and two girls.
Jack sits in the dining room of the nursing home where he lives in Bourne, Massachusetts. His ex-wife, Carla, brought the scrapbook, and his four-year-old grandson, who might be a little young to appreciate Jack's stories.
I had chances. I mean, I got looked at by the Dodgers and the Braves and the Red Sox. I sent in the dugout with Campanella, Snyder, and Newcomb. I didn't know what to say. You know, I'd shake their hand going, wow.
Coming out of high school, Jack wanted to sign with the Red Sox. They were always his team. But they didn't have any roster spots available on any of their minor league affiliates, at least not in the U.S.
See, they wanted to send me to the Canadian League, and I said, I'd go, but I said, I've joined the Army. Because they were still drafting, and I figured I was going to get drafted. Well, naturally, after I signed to go in, they stopped the draft. And I'm saying, oh, what did I do?
Someone hands Jack an old black and white photograph. Five young men, two in uniform, stand with one very proud-looking mother.
So this is you and your four brothers?
Yeah.
And you all served in World War II?
Yeah, I went in right at the end. Mm-hmm. This one was in Tawara. This was in Bora Bora. And Philip was in the Philippines. Yeah, and this is me here. I couldn't wait to get a uniform on. Next thing I know, I'm in Tokyo. I was saying, what am I doing here? This is wicked.
Jack served as part of the occupying force in Tokyo after the war. He tells a great story about saluting General Douglas MacArthur. He calls him Dugout Doug. Jack and some of the guys formed a baseball team, and one day they squared off against Army's official squad.
Was I shut them out for about 4 innings, and they come chasing me after the game and saying, we want you to play with it for the Army team. We want you here. I said, I'm going home. One of the captains came and he said, won't you stay for another year?
Memory is a funny thing. Sometimes when Jack tells this story, he's in Tokyo, and he says he would have stayed if he hadn't been so homesick. Other times, it's at the end of his stint in Korea, and he says he never considered staying because you were lucky if you got out alive. But we're jumping ahead. Jack turned down the folks who wanted him to play baseball for the Army and returned home in February of 1948. At this point in the story, Carla flips to another page in the scrapbook to show me an envelope from the Boston Braves. They'd later become the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, what's that?
That's the original contract that he signed for $150 a month, January 13th, 1949.
Now, is $150 a month enough?
I could have got more. But you were so happy to sign a contract.
Mr. John Sanford, Everett Road, Buzzards Bay, Massachusetts. Dear John, your signed contract has been received by our Boston office. Your name and address have been given to the railroad people in your area. Be looking for a call from the railroad people and be ready to leave your home on the 6th or 7th of April as per the instructions you will receive shortly. Yours truly, Harry C. Jenkins, Farm Director, Boston Braves.
Was I nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was nervous. It's big leagues, and you're saying, you know, do I belong here?
Among his family, Jack's stories are legendary. His nephew Tom tells me that the family visits and calls as often as they can to listen to him talk, and then they call each other to compare notes. And one of Jack's favorite stories starts one evening at spring training in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in 1949.
So we went out for a few beers. And the next day, meeting. They knew where we were, how many beers we drank, who left early and who stayed. We got the whole report. They released four of them right in front of me. And they're looking at me. And I'm saying, I'm next. But fortunately, I went home early. I just had a beer or two and I went home. So I didn't get released. And I'm saying, whoa, I gotta behave.
Jack was sent to a Class D team in Bluefield, West Virginia, and then to Class C in Owensboro, Kentucky. But the money wasn't very good, and he decided to go play baseball back home. In the 40s and 50s, the Cape League wasn't a place where very many players got noticed. But no matter, Jack wouldn't be staying for long.
Sagamore, September 28, 1950. Sanford called to Army duty. Upper Cape Star leaves tomorrow.
Oh, I made the biggest mistake I could have ever made. When I got out of the service in 48, a lot of guys said, you didn't sign that paper in the last table. Oh, yeah, I signed it. What the hell did you sign? I said, why? What's wrong? They said, you joined the reserve. I did. I said, you know, I won't get called. Wrong. I did a little swearing then. A month later, I'm in Korea. I'm saying, how the hell I get here so quick?
Wow, that's one about you. It says, Sagamore pitching, ace Sanford serves in Korea, yearns to pitch.
Yeah, I wrote a letter from Korea. I was, like, kind of homesick.
Just a few lines to shoot the breeze for a few minutes. I'm over here in Busan, Korea now, and with some miracle from heaven, we got shipped down here instead of the front lines. I guess I better not brag, because we may be shipped north any day now. Some guys have a slogan, we'll be back with you in 52. Mine is, let's all be one.
Let's all be one in 51. 51, I was there, and we won the championship.
Jack got back from Korea in time to join the Sagamore Clouders in September of 1951. The Cape Cod Times reported that his team was down 2-0 in the championship series when he came on in relief and won the game. But the newspaper didn't get the whole story that day. See, Jack hadn't actually been released by the Army yet.
Sagamore's southpaw ace, making his second appearance in the series since being released by the Army, hurled the Clouders to their second straight win over the Lower Cape Champs.
The first time he pitched, Jack was on leave. No big deal. The second time, well, the Army still hadn't released him, and he went AWOL. When he got back to Fort Dix, Jack discovered that there had been some developments while he was away.
How many were there in my outfit? One. Me. They were getting discharged, and I was home pitching a ball game. I didn't get in any trouble. Luckily, I think the captain was a baseball fan. And I remember him saying to me, did you win? And I said, yeah, he's okay. As long as you won.
The Army finally discharged Jack, but there was still one more game to go in the All-Cape Championship. Jack took the mound for the Clouders and brought them their very first title. The Cape Cod Times noted that he, quote, fanned six, walked one, and held the Cape's most dangerous sluggers to 5 singles and 1 2-bagger. Sagamore won another championship in 1954 with Jack Sanford on the mound. But one day in 1955, Jack went to throw the ball and discovered that he couldn't do it.
I didn't hear a clunk, but the ball didn't go very far. The guy that put the pin in Ted Williams' shoulder was in Hyannis, so I went down. He checked me out, and he says, son, I guess your playing days are over. And I said, oh, come on, Doc. I didn't want to give up, but no. I says, Jack, that's it. That's going to be it.
Jack says he tried to stay involved with the Cape Cod League for a while, but his wife wanted him home. He had a family and eventually became the campus police chief for the Massachusetts Maritime Academy. In 2005, he was inducted into the Cape Cod Baseball League Hall of Fame.
I didn't pitch to get in any Hall of Fame. I just pitched because I loved the game. I didn't care if they give me a trophy or what. I got a few of them. My cat broke most of them. He got up on my trophy case one day and walked. I'm going, get down. He got down all right with all the trophies. Crash, bang, and I'm going, no, no, no.
8 minutes into our conversation, Jack's grandson starts saying that he wants to go home. After 2 hours, I notice that he's camped out under the table we've been sitting at, and the situation is starting to look desperate.
Your grandson has had enough of your stories, I hate to say it.
Oh.
He's done.
I'm sorry. You hiding on me?
We say goodbye and thank Jack for his service. His nephew Tom wheels him back to his room. As we're packing up our equipment, the nursing home staff comes out to set up for lunch. I ask one of the women if she's ever gotten to hear Jack's stories. Mr. Sanford, she asks. Nah, he's usually pretty quiet. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Martin Kessler. Our technical director this week is Marquise Neal. Thanks to Sean Gannon for the extra help on our profile of Jack Sanford. We also had help from Zoe Sobel, Jack Lepiarz, Paul Veitkus, and Bob Schaefer. Our intern is Alex Schroeder, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word comes from Jack Sanford, who describes a frequent annoyance when he was in the dugout.
And all of a sudden you hear, clang, clang, clang. And finally one guy says, is that your mother with that bell? Every time she'd ring it, I'd stick my head out and say, that's enough.
Did I say annoyance? What I meant was display of maternal affection. I'm Bill Littlefield. I'll be back next week with more sports NPR style on Only a Game. And thank you for listening.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, and the Walton Family Foundation, working to prepare all students for a lifetime of opportunity by ensuring access to high-quality K-12 choices. More information is available at waltonk12.org, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the belief that investing in women and children today ensures a healthy, prosperous future for everyone. More information is available at gatesfoundation.org.